So hi, I'm Carrie Waterson. I'm a senior accessibility designer at Rebellion. And yeah, I led the session on interface challenges. So mainly that was talking to developers about what challenges they face in making games that are accessible for people with visual impairments and no sight. So very thankfully, we had the amazing panel before, which kind of chatted about some of the things that were really important to sightless and the two mats. So we talked about text scaling a little bit, and that's something that is hard to retrofit. So if it's an afterthought and it isn't part of the pipeline, then it's really difficult to go into your interface and actually change the scale of the text without everything breaking. So it's kind of one of those things where, yes, this would be great if it was a bit of a culture shift and we were able to move that into the pipeline and the workflow for making your UI wireframes and considering that early. In terms of screen readers, we kind of chatted a bit. We had some insights from Blizzard with World of Warcraft and also from Splash Damage working on the Master Chief Collection. And one of the challenges for Splash Damage was incorporating the menu narration. They were using Unreal's tech, but there was actually quite a lot of like massaging and additional work full time from engineers that had to be done to get it to actually function. And this was kind of echoed in some of the other comments that we've had, like the actual approachability of that tech that's provided by the engine is quite difficult. And in some cases, you need people working full time to be able to get that working, which shouldn't really be the case. With World of Warcraft, it was brought up that it's difficult to integrate screen readers because of how old it is, and there's a bit of a security risk there. But additionally, when they're bringing in text-to-speech and speech-to-text, there may be challenges with the kind of fantasy names that they have used in there as well. The other thing that we looked at was the high contrast graphics. And again, this is kind of like text scaling. It's just good design, but it needs to be considered nice and early in the pipeline so that you can have those options there for the players that need it. And again, maybe there's more engine side support that can be given for changing UI to be high contrast. And so we kind of started talking about what we as developers could do, and could we sort of band together to encourage engines to provide this collaboratively? So could we go to GDC and hunt down Epic and Unity and be like, please, can we have this? No. Gentle encouragement, but instead of going individually, having it as that collaborative kind of thing to really highlight that it's not just the odd person who's looking for this. This is something that the industry and developers really want to take seriously. And it's a lack of approachability, sometimes on the engine side, that's kind of causing these barriers. The next kind of thing that we looked at was how can we ensure that accessibility benefits a wide range of people? And the biggest thing that we talked about was testing, making sure to cover a wide range of people. As we've talked about, disability and impairments are a spectrum. Not everybody that uses accessibility settings has a disability or an impairment. It benefits everybody. But making sure that when you're testing with people with varying capabilities, that you are testing with a range of different people and not the same people as well. Make sure you're going back to different people to really make sure that you are getting a wide range of perspectives from these players and building a greater understanding of the kind of challenges that they face. The other thing is just options to adapt. You know, every single player is completely unique and they have different capabilities. So making sure that the game can adapt to each person's personal capabilities and offer that same level of challenge that each person wants is really, really important. And we also talked a little bit about inherent accessibility, kind of what Tara touched on earlier. There was some mention of color blindness, and so, you know, it's the shape and the color. Or as I like to say, using multiple visual channels. So you can use color, but also support it with text or the animation that you use or the visual effect or the shape. Like, and that inherently kind of alleviates you having to have a colorblind mode because you're using multiple visual channels to communicate that information. The last kind of thing that we looked at was what needs to happen for developers to start considering accessibility at launch. And I think we kind of touched on a lot of what we'd already talked about. Culture and workflow changes, having those pipelines in early, including gamers, testing with them, really living that statement of nothing about us without us, you know, making sure that we're using people that need these features to be able to validate them. The other thing that we talked about was learning from others as well. Like when we're making a game, even in those early stages of the concept, we will have inspirations that we're drawing on. And it's so easy to go, okay, cool, my inspiration is Skyrim. I'm going to go and find, like, the Can I Play That review of Skyrim and see what did it do well? What did it do badly? And then I can kind of use that to inform the things that we focus on in our game.